Hey guys, it's Kim and Darren here, and again for another podcast. This is a long-awaited type podcast. I got to get my recorder situated here. I'm not quite fully set up yet. But this podcast, we're going to talk about what it's like to be a blind married couple or a married blind couple.
In honor of Valentine's.
In honor of Valentine's Day, yes, and this is. And love, and this is the first, that was Kim's little contribution there. This is the first time you're really going to hear Kim up close, and going to kind of let her introduce herself as she sees fit. And but first, before we actually start the podcast, I have to put together a George Foreman grill. We have one of these.
Somebody's going to put it on
the scale. Yeah, I can tackle that too. We have one of these nice George Foreman grills with the removable grids that where you cook the certain cooking surface. And it's really cool because you cook on it, you get all greasy and dirty, and then you can wipe it off. Oh, whoa, it just made a weird whistling noise. That was pretty cool. But you can not only wipe it off, but you can pop the grids off and throw them in the dishwasher and rinse them off. I think it's a 70-inch grilling surface, something like that. Anyway, it's pretty stinking big. What?
Who cares?
Well, some people on the podcast might want some information about it. We'll have to do a cooking cast one day. So anyway, I'm going to put together this grill again. And it's actually really easy. We got it as a wedding gift. I don't know how much they are, but they're pretty cool. But don't worry, we are going to talk about what it's like to be a blind married couple. And we are both blind. We'll get into that. In just a minute. So I'm putting together my George Foreman grill. And, I just got inspired to do this. It's about, I don't know what time it is. It's a Sunday night. Let me check my... Kim says it's a little after 9. I'm still going to check. A little after 9:30. I'm happy about a lot of things right now. I'm happy because I got talks working on my cell phone. I'm happy because I got a new laptop with all this hard drive space and RAM and processing power and stuff like that. That's Kenya jingling you hear there. So I'm going to sit down here on the couch. What was the other thing you wanted me to do, sweetheart? I put the grill together.
The crockpot is still in the cabinet.
Oh, is the pot in the cooker?
Yes.
You did that, huh? All right, so I'm going to put the crock pot in the cabinet, and then we will get this podcast on the road. Now, I know some people may not have started this podcast until they were ready, but hey, I was in the mood tonight to just go ahead and start it, and a lot of things on Blind Cool Tech aren't exactly done professionally, if you will. That's not meant to be a bad thing, by the way. But I digress. Putting the crock pot. We made some chili the other night, so I actually thought about podcasting that. Which side does it go on, babe?
It goes in that lower cabinet, one in the microwave.
Oh, on the other side. I'm on the left side. Anyway, this is a 4-quart crock pot, and we made some awesome chili the other day, and it was really good. In fact, I think we still have some left over. But as you can tell, we have no problem cooking as a blind couple. Well, the George Foreman grill and the crock pot and the microwave, and we use the oven quite a bit, too. We also have a convection oven that we use. We'll talk about all different aspects of being a blind couple and try to cover everything. If we don't, we'll come back and do another cast. Okay, so I'm going to sit down and let Kim kind of introduce herself, since she hasn't really, you've heard her a little bit in the background on a few podcasts, but we have not rehearsed what we're going to talk about or anything, so this is all on the fly. Kim, get off her foot. Kim, you stepped on her foot. He wants to be on the podcast too. You've already been on a couple casts, buddy.
Yes.
All right. Sit down.
He's
now.
Very sweet
sit
right now.
Down. All the way. Good dog. Yeah, he thinks he's the center of attention right now.
It's all about Kenya.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Okay, Kim, so go ahead and kind of introduce yourself. And
Well, I never talk on the internet because I think it's kind of weird. But that's how we met.
That is how we met.
I haven't been blind my whole life. I lost my sight when I was 16. So I went all the way through high school being able to see. And then shortly after I got my red Mustang convertible, my eyesight started going. And within 6 months of my 16th birthday, I was totally blind as a complication of a brain tumor. And that was a big adjustment for me because I was just, you know, I was basically an average kind of brainy kid in high school. And I did all the average things everybody else did, aside from having these health problems. And so when I lost my sight, I still considered myself very different from most blind people because I'd seen most of my life. Because to me, when I started meeting blind people, they were very different from me, and they just seemed very, actually, the more I met, the more I was convinced blind people were just weird, and and I was the only normal one, and so...
That's the way you felt at that time.
Yeah, at 16, and so...
And you no longer feel that way.
So when I went on...
Obviously, because you married one.
I went on to to college shortly after losing my sight, about a year and a half later. I graduated a year early, and I went on to college, and I graduated summa cum laude, which was the highest honor, and that was in 2000, and then I went on to graduate school and graduated last May with my master's in rehab counseling.
Right, and that was May 2005, just for the record, in case you're listening to this a couple of years after or whatever.
Yeah, but one thing you do when you're in school that long is spend a lot of time on the computer, and... naturally, since I was on the computer, I was on the internet a lot doing research for papers and for school. And one of the things I started picking up on was I did some investigating on chat rooms and things because that was just quite the rage.
The cool thing to do.
Yeah, and all the sighted people did it, and so I was going to do it too. And the more I researched it, the more I figured out that there weren't that many accessible chat rooms. I started out on the proverbial accessible chat, which
is not very popular by today's standards. People,
yeah, that
we won't get into that.
That continued to reinforce my belief that all blind people were weird. So,
and those of you who were on AC at the time when it was out will understand that totally. And now there's Freedom Chat, which is not. It's basically uncensored. It's not very... I wouldn't recommend it.
And then, one thing
that's my opinion, of course.
Done early on after losing my sight was I subscribed to a magazine. What was it? Was it like Ziegler? I don't remember.
Ziegler, I don't remember that.
It was something like Ziegler Magazine or something. And one of the things it had, it was on tape, at the end... you could write a letter to be a pen pal. And
really?
Yeah. And one of the...
I haven't heard this one. This is new to me, guys.
There was a girl named Kelly Williams.
Ah.
And she was...
That's how you met Kelly.
She was on the pen pal list, and she sounded like she had a lot in common with me. So we started writing. I can't remember.
I'm having a little bit of mic trouble. Okay, go ahead.
If we did it by email or by tape, but it seems like we started out with tape and then eventually started doing email.
So you sent tape letters back and forth?
I can't remember exactly. I'm not sure. We may have just done email.
That's a cool concept. I only remember doing that like once in my life.
Well,
go ahead.
Can
you quit?
So we had kind of emailed, I think it was emailed back and forth a good while. And
And I'd been doing this accessible chat every once in a while with all the weird black people on it. And
hey, some of us were normal.
But I had sent an email to Kelly for her to come on accessible chat with me sometime so we could really talk. And we had a lot in common, and our friendship continued to grow. I haven't talked to her in a good while, but she was on the internet. There were some other people on that were on accessible chat, and they talked about For the People, and I checked that out some. And that was a voice chat. Now, like I say, I'm still real leery of talking on the internet. I just think it's a little weird because you don't know who you're talking to, and I've met enough people that I wouldn't want to talk to not being on the internet. So it's...
You kind of just have to be... I don't know. I kind of get into it a little more than Kim. By the way, we'll give a plug for the people here. It is 4-the-people.com, forthepeople.com. If you go to For the People without the dashes, you will get a law site, so make sure you put in those dashes if you're interested. It is free, and it's a lot of fun. I used to host a game chat on there about a year ago, and I just been so busy with getting married and getting a job and getting a guide dog and just different things cropping up in my life, just coming up in my life. And anyway, it's changed a lot for me, and I don't really go on there much anymore. That's not to say I won't ever again. So actually, I think I'm about getting Skype. So anyway, go ahead with what you were saying about.
Anyway, my one normal,
yes,
my normal friend was Kelly, and she sent me an email or something and told me I needed to check out this Bible study on For the People.
And she sent that email time and time and time again.
She was sending me instant messages too.
Oh, man, she was on you hard.
And, Kenya is just madly in love with me. That's the other reason I had to marry Darren, is because...
We'll get to that later.
Kenya and I have quite the love relationship. Anyway, she said I need to go to this Bible study in the chapel on For the People. And I was busy because I was in school all the time, so I kept on putting it off. But eventually, I did go.
And let me just jump in and say that Kim is a very work-oriented person. She's always got something to do, which is good. She makes a great housewife.
Hey, now.
A great wife. I didn't mean that as a...
I'm going to get a job. I'm not going to...
Yes, you are going to get a job, honey, but you do a great job with what you do here as well, is what I meant by that. And you work really hard. She can't stand to not have anything to do, guys. So she always has something to do, and she's been that way ever since I've known her. So
I'm a master's level housewife.
Yes, you are, sweetheart. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, so I went on this Bible study, and we were talking, going around, and I don't exactly remember how it came up, but they asked me where I was from. I think I came on as Kimberly.
You did.
And
which one came dog?
There was a few people in there. And
yes,
they kind of went around, I guess you would say, went around the room, even though it's not.
Yes.
And introduced themselves and told me who each one of them was. One of them had a name of... Darren Duff in Gainesville, Georgia.
Is that what I was?
I think so. And I was like, I wonder if that guy's from Gainesville, Georgia. But I was really thinking that much about it. But he said a few words to me, and he had a very handsome voice. That's one thing I noticed, but yeah, he had a very handsome voice.
It's okay to get mushy, I think, because it's a Valentine cast. So those of you who can't stand mushy stuff, well, either don't eat during this podcast or go ahead and sign off, because, I don't know, it's Valentine's Day. We're not going to get all lovey-dovey or anything like that.
I do like Darren's voice, though.
Well, thank you. You're just pretty cute, too.
So, anyway, how we met, and then we figured out we didn't live that far apart. But you know me, I am not about to give out all my personal information, and this is the first time I've ever actually done a podcast. So
I will say that we lived about an hour apart from from where we were, and I think that's okay to say that. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think any of you good people are going to track us down, because I know you guys from the list, and it's actually one of the normal, relatively normal email lists I've been on, so we're not divulging too much here.
Nah, I guess not. Anyway, so he sent me an MSN message or something like that.
Actually, I still have the tape, or used to have the tape not too long ago, of where I recorded your MSN address on. And it was like really late at night, and I was pretty nervous. You could tell by my voice inflection on the tape. I was pretty nervous.
And one of my concerns was that you sounded cute, but you sound like you're about 17 years old.
I'm 26 now, for anybody who's wondering. I don't know if I sound like I'm 26. I hope I do. Anyway.
So we started talking, and that went on. How long was that? You tell me.
I think it was around 4 months. We would IM each other through MSN Messenger. Or like, we both had to go to school at the time. I was going to college, and Kim was going to college. And
he was playing around. I was going
to whatever. I was going to college, too. I was going to technical college, right? I was too busy switching my majors. I was an electronic engineer, and I figured I couldn't solder, or I didn't know how to solder.
It's not market.
Well, I don't know. And so I switched my major to networking specialist and got my 4-year degree in networking specialist. So anyway, we were both going to school, and we would stay up till like 2:00 in the morning chatting on MSN. I mean, just like for hours. We go in for the Bible, and this is bad, guys. This is really bad. We go in to the Bible study. Now, half the time, I wouldn't even know what was going on in the Bible study. Because we'd be IMing each other while they're reading the Bible and stuff. And I didn't feel like I was sinning or anything like that, but it was just, I was head over heels for her. I was definitely interested in her at the time. I will say that. Maybe not quite head over heels yet. So we IM'd each other for about 4 months.
And I wasn't sure.
And we may have emailed a few times. Kim was totally not sure.
Because he sounded like 17.
You weren't sure. Well, I won't get into that now. So, the end result, how we got the transition from instant messaging to phone calls, was when I got a virus from Kim. And this is ironic and freaking hilarious. What, babe?
I was about to make a bad joke.
Well, go ahead. Go ahead. What?
No, I'm not going to say that.
Okay. Anyway, we'll never know what that bad joke was.
Not the virus.
Well, I will say the virus I got from her totally screwed up my computer. I was a bias when it came to virus protection. Is that the right word, baby? Bias?
No, I don't know what you mean.
I didn't believe in virus protection. So not biased.
He was an unprotected computer user.
I was totally exposed to viruses. I don't need virus protection. You know, I had Norton at the time. It was slowing down my computer, so I uninstalled it. And it wasn't accessible, that version, a particular version I had. Anyway, I ended up catching the love bug virus from Kim. And it screwed up a bunch of stuff in my computer. So my buddy Greg, who, if you've listened to the wedding cast, you should... Well, I don't know if you know who he was or not, because...
No, we didn't do the reception.
We didn't do the reception part of the DVD audio.
If you could see, you would know, but...
Well, if you could see, you won't know, because it's an audio cast. There's no video. So just kidding about that. Greg is my best friend. I will jump in and explain this. He's my best friend. We've been friends ever since sixth grade, and he played guitar, I played drums, and we played in a band for 3.5 years. We jam, you know, off and on, until, of course, I got married, and now I never see him anymore. He's hard to get a hold of. So anyway, Greg, who is an IT guy, which is, of course, information technology, is really into computers and everything, and he had to come over and reformat my computer after that. And he's sitting here, you know, 3-4 hours reformatting my stupid piece of crap Windows 98 second edition computer. And he's like, dude, why don't you just call her? You know, just call her. Oh, before he came to reformat my computer, I got this tool that was supposed to fix the computer, and it's supposed to take a couple hours or whatever and repair all the files or whatever. I forget. But anyway, I let it run for like 12 hours, and it didn't do a darn thing. So I called Greg. I said, dude, you got to come over here and reformat my computer. This virus I got from Kim has screwed it up. And he says, what virus? And I said, the love bug virus. And he just busted out laughing, man. He was fit to bust, just laughing. He goes, dude, why don't you just call her? I'm like, no. I guess you had given me your number, or...
I don't know.
I'd gotten it somehow. We've been talking for a while. We've been talking for 4 months at that point.
Yeah, but you were 17 still, so...
I was not 17. I was 21. Or 22.
So I didn't talk to you that often.
No, but every night, every Bible study, I would show up at Bible study just so I could see Kim. And it was, it wasn't the right reason to show up for Bible study, but that Bible study played a big part in us getting together. And it's kind of ironic because we both never, very ironic actually, because both of us never thought that we would meet. Number one, that we would meet and fall in love and marry someone that we met on the internet. And number two, that we would marry another blind person. So it was totally a God thing. Whether you believe in God or not, it was totally, totally a God thing, yes. We have no doubt about that in our minds. We're both born-again Christians, and we both very much believe in God. And I know there are several of you out there on the list that feel the same way. So anyway, Greg fixes my computer. I ended up calling Kim, and I'm like, dude, you gave me this virus. And anyway, somehow we got to talking. We started talking on the phone. And I remember when I first really knew that I loved Kim, and it was when she went on a 3-day trip to Chattanooga, Tennessee. What was it, November?
Mm-hmm. I think so. Well, I'm not sure.
And I didn't talk to her for 3 days. I had no contact with her. And I was like, man, this just stinks. And she was all I could think about, And it was just, it was awful. So the third day when she came home, I was at my grandmother's in Cleveland, Georgia. And I even remember which room I was staying in, okay? Laying in the floor, talking to her on the phone, and I knew that I loved her, And it was just, at that time, I didn't know I was going to marry her, but I knew that, she was the kind of girl I wanted to marry. She was a Christian. She was, loved the Lord, just totally sold out to God, and an awesome, awesome girl. And I had liked lots of girls before then, but I'd never had a girlfriend because I was waiting on the right woman from God. And that's a hard thing to do when you see all your friends in high school having girlfriends. And I was a drummer in high school. All the girls loved me. And, I was just like...
hard. It was rough.
It was hard and it was rough. And don't make fun of me because...
I date a lot of guys. And, not like...
Shame.
Not like a lot of guys, but... I was always real careful and always dated Christians.
Sure.
But I had never dated, for the most part, had never dated anybody who was visually impaired. There was one guy who came over to my house one time who was convinced it was a date, but I was really just trying to get rid of him.
I was talking about the night when you came back from Tennessee.
Chattanooga, yeah. And like I say, Darren was 17 and I was 24.
I was not 17. Would you stop saying that?
Dan and I are 3 years apart, so this whole 17.
She's older.
Thing was just a perception of mine, was that.
Because I'll be 27 in March, and she's 30 now, so.
Yeah, so.
And I was never anticipated I would marry, let alone date, an older woman, but hey, it's all good.
Yeah, so I had dated, several people. I hadn't met the right person. There was a There was a few people I thought were the right, a few guys I thought they were right, but they weren't. Now I know that. But I didn't really date visually impaired people, other than the one guy that came over my house who thought it was a date, and I was just wanting to get rid of him.
And you already said that.
But so in my mind, I was talking to this guy, but it was not going to go further because...
Talking about me.
Talking about you, and I just figured it was just kind of somebody to talk to. But when I did go to Chattanooga, I missed Darren, and that night when I got back, we did have a very close conversation.
Conversation, and
that was pretty much the turning point in our relationship, and then mm-hmm. we started seeing each other.
Well, let me tell how that happened, because there's this thing in this church here in Georgia. It's called 722, and it's a college get together where literally thousands of college people show up on Tuesday night and have a big, you know, praise and worship band, real loud, like a concert, and it's like a big, huge, cavernous sanctuary, and there's just like people on the pews and the chairs and whatever, on the floor, leaning up against the walls, whatever. Just a bunch of college kids, collegians. And somehow we decided we were going to meet at 722. It was in November of 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And we had met. Now, another significant thing I remember shortly after I met you was when the World Trade Center got hit.
No, it was before. We met in November.
No, baby. I'm talking about met on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
Because
that's
we met
true.
Like the 1st of August or somewhere around there on the internet.
Yeah.
And so I won't forget that either. We were, you know. Because when that happened, the first thing I thought was, oh, man, I'm going to call Kim and see if she knows about this. Anyway, that was just something that popped up in my head. So anyway, we decided we're going to meet at 722 in November. I was going with Greg, and Kim was going with one of her friends at the time she was going to school with. Is that right?
Yeah. I kind of conned her into taking it. She didn't know what was up.
So anyway, Greg and I head off. I'm like, dude, how are you going to find her, man? There's like a sea of people here. He's like, dude, it says, I know exactly what she looks like. I mean, you told me, she told you what she looks like, and I know exactly, and you told me, so I know exactly what she looks like. At the time, Kim kind of looked like Meg Ryan. She had the curly hair thing going on, kind of like the dude that Meg Ryan had when she was in Top Gun, and she had her movie star glasses, and she looked like Meg Ryan, and I was like, huh, that's pretty awesome. So we get to 722, and Greg and his girlfriend at the time, Leslie, was, you know, they were like looking for Kim, and Leslie's like, well, I'll go over here on this side and look, and it's kind of up front. And she comes running back through the crowd, and she's like, Greg, I found her. So he goes, he sees Kim, and he starts pulling me through people. I mean, we're like pulling people over. And he's like, hey, are you Kim? And she's like, yeah, that's me. He's like, here, Darren, sit down. He pushes me down in his chair next to Kim. And the whole time I'm like clearing my throat, you know, rocking back and forth, sweating, sweaty palms and everything, man. Just totally freaking out. I was just freaked out. And you thought I was weird.
I had already decided if you were one of those blind people that rocked, there was no way on God's
earth. Kim, easy, baby.
Easy.
I won't go into that. I don't know if anybody does that, but I won't go into that. She thought I was weird, okay? So, I'm going to have to edit that out now, babe. She thought I was weird, okay? So, at the end of the thing, Lugiglio, who's the guy who preaches at 722. It was around Thanksgiving. Obviously, it was in November. And he goes, now I want you to turn to your neighbor and give him a big Thanksgiving hug before we leave tonight. And I turned to Kim and I put my right hand, she's sitting on my right side, I put my right hand on the back of her jacket, and Leslie, Greg's girlfriend, who's sitting on the left side of me, I'm now facing Kim, so Leslie comes up behind me and gives this big bear hug, and I'm like, no, get off me. And then I just got to where I put my hand on Kim's jacket, she's wearing this leather jacket, and I was like, dude, nice jacket. And Kim's like, abada, 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 and she was just weird, you know, just freaked out by me. So they took off, you know, they didn't hang around at all, they took off. Me and Greg get back in the truck, and he's like, dude, she was hot. she did look like Meg Ryan. So we talked about it the whole way home, and that was the first time we met. And Kim actually called me up the next morning, and she goes, are you still breathing? I was like, yeah, it's all good. So we got back talking on the phone. So that was a pretty strange encounter. So I told my parents, I had actually told them before that I wanted to arrange a trip to see Kim, to go to her house, and it was like an hour away in Kennesaw from Gainesville, and, you know, by car, and it was an hour away, hour drive, minus the traffic. And I thought, man, my parents are never, it's 10 o'clock, my parents are never going to take me. And Dad was just like, and he's usually not, like, usually wasn't like this, but he's like, sure, yeah. So I got directions to her house off of, like, MapQuest or something like that. And we go down there, and it's, like, December 15th. I'll never forget this, 2001. And I go down there, and we get out, and her mom answers the door, and my knees are knocking, man. I'm, like, all shaky and everything. And go in there and sit down at the table, and she's there, and, you know, we meet and everything. We talk and, you know, kind of get to know each other. And that day, you actually heard this on the wedding cast, the song Show Me Your Glory. That day, we were sitting on her couch in her bedroom, which is actually the couch we're sitting on now. It's a little love seat. And that song was playing. And that's when I asked her if she would date me, if she would go out with me. And she said yes. And 4 years later, that has been our song. That song has turned up at the strangest times. And that song is called Show Me Your Glory. It's written and sung by a group called Third Day, who's a popular alternative Christian rock group, or Christian alternative rock group, however you want to say it. Really good band from right here in Kennesaw, all five of the guys. Kim actually went to college with Mac Powell, didn't you?
He was there at the same time. I didn't really know him.
Yeah. Anyway, she got one of their demo tapes when they first came out, and, you know, before they got big, and so, yeah, whatever. She was up there with them. So anyway, what is that?
Show Me Your Glory's playing.
That's your cell phone. That is hilarious. Her cell phone is playing in the other room, and I made her ringtone, and it is Show Me Your Glory. And it's in the other room, so it's not picking up on the mics. Okay, so I had to pause the recording there when Kim went to grab her phone. And so Show Me Your Glory was a big, big part of our relationship.
It really, God showed me in a lot of ways. I mean, that was a big one.
A big reason.
Yeah, that Darren was the one. And to me, if you are going to undertake something as big as a marriage, you have to know that it's the right thing. And something as big as a marriage of two visually impaired people or blind people is, you know, you need to know that God's going to take care of you and that it's in His will. And He really confirmed it with that song, and that just blows my mind that when we started talking about it, the song started playing. I mean, that happened.
It just goes to show you, it's a God thing. It really God, is a God thing.
It just, it's not something you can fake, and it's so neat the way everything's falling into place. And, yeah, I'm a woman, and I'm very much an analyzer, so I analyzed every aspect of all the problems we might encounter as a married couple. And that was a big part of it, taking so long for me to be convinced. But in the end, it all fell into place, and God is just
so good because it's been wonderful. And if I had paid attention to my fears, I wouldn't be so happy. And I just kind of had this realization that yeah, it's different than everybody else, but different is you know, if you do the same thing as everybody else, that's just kind of boring. Different is good, and you make your own happiness. You make your own reality, you know, good or bad, and it really is neat that we have really overcome a lot. And I think seeing how hard you were going to work and getting a job and moving down here, getting a dog, and
I got a dog, and
just all the things, the big things you did, that's not something an average guy does, you know. And
that's not something you do if it's just kind of a,
yeah, and it was so
a half of a job, for lack of a better way of putting it, because I knew after 2 years, I was in the shower one day, and I just asked God, I was like, God, if she's the person I'm supposed to marry, you know, make it real to me, make it true. And he did. I mean, I can't tell you how I know. I just, those of you who are Christians who have God confirm stuff in your life for you, you'll understand. I just knew that I knew that I knew that she was the one. And so if you're out there and you are trusting God for the right person to marry, don't give up. I mean, because we're an example, you know, it's totally, if it were up to us, I don't think we would have been together. Because, I mean, just,
it had to really be clear.
Yeah. And it was clear in both of our minds. And we talked a lot over our dating relationship. You know, how are we going to do, you know, if we are to get married, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? And we obsessed over it, kind of, and just drove it in the ground.
And one thing that I've said over and over again, it's like, if I'd known it was going to be this easy, I would have never doubted, because it really, it's just like,
God has provided for us
every aspect
since day one, guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just telling you, He's provided everything for us, and it comes with trusting Him. It comes with laying everything at the foot of the cross of Christ and just trusting Him for everything, and of course being faithful to what He says. And for me, if for both of us, what? Yeah, I'm just thinking all these funny things, trying to get the words out that I want to say. But seriously, if it wasn't for God, I mean, we're talking about our story, but we're also talking about all these godly principles and things. And with our relationship, with our lives, we just can't not talk about God, because if it wasn't for God, neither one of us would be here.
So it's just wonderful how God's worked it out for us. And it's just a good Valentine's story, don't you think?
I think so, babe. I think it's a great Valentine's story. We can't ask for anything better. And it's a total God thing. So that is our story. And maybe sometime in the future we can come back and talk about more about some of the complications and situations and issues that we face as a blind married couple. I think we were kind of going to starting this podcast off and going to talk about that kind of stuff, but we got to tell our story. And so we'll come back and talk about those things. Of course, if you have any questions, you're more than welcome to email us. You guys have my email address, and contact me on the Blind Cool Tech email list, or at dduff@blvsgeorgia.org. So that's going to wrap it up for this podcast, and thank you guys for listening to our story. I hope we've made your Valentine's Day even better, and thank you guys for listening. Till next time, it's Darren Duff
and Kim.
We'll see you guys later. Bye. Happy Valentine's Day.